My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome back into The Drive on 6th and Sports Radio, 6thandsports.com, and the Odyssey app. We're probably, Rob, what would you say, maybe an hour away from seeing if the Los Angeles Lakers are going to draft Bronny James. They are at pick 40 right now. The Lakers have the 55th pick. There is a sort of, I don't know if conspiracy, I don't know the correct term, honestly, going around here, but Tim Legler of ESPN, Bill Simmons also has this opinion as well. Listen to this. So Bronny is still on the board right now, and everybody is wondering if the Lakers are going to select him with the 55th overall pick. This is what Tim Legler thinks that the Boston Celtics should do.
Boston. So, like movies, I like true crime, stuff like that. I'm just saying, 54th pick, we renew the Cold War between the Celtics and the Lakers. The Boston Celtics take Bronny James, and he sent a ransom note to the Lakers. We have your son. And we have your son. If you want him back, it's going to take Austin Reeves. It's going to take whatever you want. What do you think, Stephen A? What do you think? That's a Netflix doc.
That was Tim Legler earlier today saying that the Boston Celtics should draft Bronny James and hold him for ransom. That would actually be very, very funny. That would be the most intriguing thing to happen in this year's NBA draft. If you missed it, Johnny Furphy was the 35th overall pick. He was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs. He got traded to the Indiana Pacers. So congratulations to Johnny Furphy. He was selected in the NBA draft. Let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball. Chico Borman is going to join us here coming up in about 15 minutes. He covers all things Cleveland sports. They were talking about Cleveland earlier today on MLB Network. Here's what they had to say.
Top to bottom, they might be the lean machine here, BK, but they're balanced, and I think that's what they've lacked the last couple of years.
Give me something quick on Stephen Vogt, if you can, because you're watching him pitch by pitch, and I'm not. Go ahead.
I think empathy was a thing we thought about a lot, but communication has been just utterly unbelievable. When you have buy-in from 26 guys from day one, that's hard to do for a veteran manager, but it's the dynamic. He believes every guy, every day has a chance to play. Even your rotation guys that aren't going to be in the game, so to say, but every bench player, if your name's not crossed off that day, that would be a shock to me.
Rob, I do think that we have seen this play itself out as we are at the halfway point. I think in the American League, I think we have started to see the separation between the true World Series contending teams and then the wild card contending teams. Now, there's a lot of wild card contending teams currently in the American League, and we'll see who can get hot, who has a great second half of the season, who puts themselves in contention. But I've thought this for a while. And now that we're past the halfway mark for all of these teams, the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Guardians, I think have separated themselves as the three best teams in the American League. After that, Seattle has the fourth most wins. They have 46. The Royals have 43. Boston has 40. Or excuse me, the Royals have 44. Minnesota has 44. Boston has 43. So the wild card race is going to be very, very competitive down the stretch. But I think we have seen that Cleveland is one of those teams that I don't know if they have a pretty glaring weakness, at least not when we saw them play Kansas City a couple of weeks ago for that two-game set, and then the second game of that series got rained out. I think you're talking about a team that's got good starting pitching, a team that's pretty complete top to bottom when you're talking about their lineup. They have maybe the best bullpen in all of baseball. The Guardians are a really, really good team, and that's why I say, at least for me in this conversation, if you still think they have a chance in the division, then they have to win this series. If the Royals win this series, they'll be seven games out of the division. Now, that's still a decent amount, but hey, you would have just taken three or four against the Guardians. You would have made up some ground, and there's still a lot of baseball to be played. If the Royals lose this series against the Guardians, they will then be 11 games back. And I think you can almost end all of those conversations. I also think, at least in terms of talking about the division, we are past the point of treading water. I don't think playing 500 baseball against the Guardians is going to do a lot for you in the AL Central race. It obviously keeps you alive in the wild card race. I expect the Royals to be in the wild card race for the duration of the season. But Rob, are you with me at least when we talk about this one individual series? Or where do you stand on this? I think it's pretty clear if you're looking at games back and you're looking at the standings. If you still have a hope that the Royals can win their division or be really competitive in the American League Central, they have to win this series this weekend. They cannot split in this four-game set against the Guardians.
I think they can split. That's where me and you are going to differ a little bit. I think if you tread water, you're okay, because you'd then be, I was doing the math, you'd be nine back if you go 2-2 in this series with 77-some-odd games to go. It's a big task. It's an uphill battle, but they're, you know, it's baseball. We see the Royals make some moves. Maybe Cleveland doesn't make some moves. We'll just see what happens. But I think if you stand pat and you tread water here, you're okay. But I agree with you. If you lose the series to Cleveland, which, by the way, it's worth noting, Cleveland's won like 7 of their last 10, so they're playing some of their best baseball right now, and the Royals are scuffling. So losing the series isn't outside the realm of possibility. If you lose 3 or 4 and now you're 11 games back of the division, I can't speak for other shows. This show will only talk about the second or third wildcard spot, because that will be the battle the Royals are in. I think the first wildcard spot's also kind of dead and gone because the Orioles are going to run away with that. But if you win the series or you split again, I am open to a conversation about the division being in play. But if on Monday we're on here talking about, oh, Cleveland took 3 or 4, the division race is over and done. It's wild card or bust, which is fine. The wild card is still a playoff team. The wild card is still a position the Royals haven't been in 10 years. And it's what John Sherman talked about at that press conference, maybe seeing a wild card team. But I just disagree with you a little bit in the fact that, hey, a split is not a death sentence.
I'm looking at it right now, and you're right. I mean, we're talking about a team that has won 7 of their last 8 games. The Guardians have been just as hot as any team in baseball. The other thing that I think is really important in this series, that they have scored more than 5 runs in 10 of their last 12 games. It's going to be really difficult, even with the starting pitching that the Royals have. You're probably not holding Cleveland to 1 run. You're not beating them 3-1 in any of these games, or 4-2 for the most part in any of these games. The bats are going to have to wake up if we're talking about beating a team of this caliber. It's one thing to do that against Miami Marlins, who might be the worst team in baseball. It's another thing to do that against Cleveland, who might be one of the 5 best teams in baseball. So if the Royals are going to win this series and not just tread water in this, you're going to need your offense to come around, and you're going to need to avoid the lulls that we've seen over the course of the last week. We gave you the stats yesterday. Over the last week, the Royals have had a 25-inning scoreless streak. They also have had a 14-inning scoreless streak. If that's what you do this weekend, you can maybe get swept in this series against the Cleveland Guardians and really take yourself out of the division race. So I don't have concerns about the starting pitching. If you look at the probables for the Royals over the next couple of days, you got Waka, Marsh, Reagans, and Lugo. So you got, I mean, these are your big guns in this series. You got Seth Lugo, who could be an all-star. You got Seth Reagans, or Cole Reagans, excuse me, who could be an all-star as well. Michael Wacha was one of your big additions to this team. So from a starting pitching standpoint, all right, you're good. You're back healthy. You're back right. You should be expected to put up some good results against Cleveland. You're going to have to score, and your offense is going to have to come around if you're going to give yourself a realistic chance in this series against a really talented Guardians team. Coming up on the other side, we'll learn more about the Guardians with our guy Chico Boardman. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of my favorite people to catch up with and talk sports with. His name is Chico Boardman. He is on the Big Play Network in Cleveland, Ohio. Chico, man, appreciate you.
Carrington, I got to tell you, man, I think we kind of broached this last time, but I was telling Rob as well. It is so nice that, you know, normally it's the Chiefs and the Browns, and we get that, and I love talking about that, but it's so much fun, and it's awesome to be able to talk baseball this late in the season with you, with the Royals, with the Guardians here. I love it. I love it. I love it. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing great, Chico. I'm excited to talk. I don't think I've ever asked you a basketball question on this show, and we got more baseball to discuss. The only basketball question I have today is, obviously, you are familiar with LeBron James' family, grew up in Akron, played for Cleveland for, I think it was 7 years while he was there. What is it like to now see his kid be in the process of being drafted in Bronny James, which our expectation is that he's going to get drafted here in an hour or so?
Well, my first reaction is when they won the when they won it all back in 2016, and obviously ended that long, long drought for Cleveland sports. I remember looking at that, and you can see pictures of the floats and LeBron going by, and Bronny at the time was like 10 years old. And so my first thought, Carrington, is, damn, I'm getting old. But I already knew that. It is kind of crazy. And I, you know, he's one of those guys, LeBron James, and not everybody, most everybody loves him here. They still hold some of the, you know, he left not once but twice against him. But I think he's, I really, really respect what he's done on and off the floor here in Cleveland. But I just think that, you know, that here's a guy that's handled himself the right way. Even his entire family, Bronny James, Bronny Jr. has been, you know, he's handled things the right way. I don't know how great of a basketball player he's going to be. I think it's kind of humorous when we see Kendrick Perkins kind of lose it a little bit when he says, guys, I've been here 5 years, and this is the first time that we are spending this much time on a sure-to-be second-round draft pick. But, again, when you have that DNA, it's going to draw it. So I think people here honestly feel good for Bronny. But right now they're more focused on, is Donovan Mitchell going to be signing a contract, and is Kenny Atkinson the right coach and all that good stuff.
Right now we're talking to Chico Borman of the Big Play Network in Cleveland, just getting his thoughts on Bronny James as we think he's going to be drafted here coming up in a bit. They're at pick 44. The Lakers have pick 55. So we'll see if the Lakers end up selecting the son of LeBron James. Let's talk about the Guardians here. The last time we talked, the Guardians were playing great baseball. They have now won 7 of their last 8. This might be the best that they've played so far this season.
Yeah, and I think it coincides, too, Carrington, with getting Stephen Kwan back healthy, who has been on an absolute tear, actually was on a pretty good tear before the injury. You know, I don't think anybody's anticipating him hitting 400 this year. But, you know, the write-up on him, the scouting report on him has always been he's a great contact hitter, like a lot of the guys that the Guardians seek out. But, you know, he's – you know, a couple notches above that. He's not just your average, you know, slap hitter. He just, he's so disciplined. And now that he has found his way after the injury, but even going back to last year, I mean, two guys I think that we talked about last time was Stephen Kwan and Andrés Giménez that, you know, we looked at the year before in 2022 and we said, well, okay, progress has to be linear, right? These two guys are going to make a huge jump. They're going to, and it doesn't always happen, and it didn't happen for those guys. Now, there are a myriad of other issues that went on with this team that contributed, but now all of a sudden you're seeing, you know, a team that obviously loves and really respects and plays hard for their manager, Stephen Vogt. But I think that's just how they have gone about their business for a while. But you're seeing a lineup now with Kwan and with Giménez, and now all of a sudden you're setting the table for a guy that, you know, look, I'm a little bit biased. We all are here in Cleveland, but Jose Ramirez he absolutely is one of the best in baseball. We're so grateful that, you know, he took less money to stay here. You can imagine how beloved he is because of that, but he is, make no mistake, he is one of the best in the business. So, yeah, it's just, I think having those guys reach their potential, and of course now the focus goes to, okay, this pitching staff, they've got to do something. The bullpen has been amazing. Can they keep this up late into the year? And I think there's some skepticism there, but that's why you have the trade deadline. You also got a young guy in Gavin Williams. Hopefully he's making his last rehab start today, and at last check he got knocked around a little bit, but nothing too great. He is, I'll tell you this, C-Dot, Gavin Williams coming into the season, I mean, Tanner Bibee, you've seen what he's done, and last year had to be. I mean, he was called upon with all of the injuries, and he just stepped right up. Gavin Williams was kind of in the same mold, but he really wasn't able to work on a lot of secondary pitches. They were so excited heading into spring training and throughout spring training to get Gavin Williams, their big righty, taking that next step. And then he had the injury. But I can tell you this, for a lot of the rankings out there in Baseball America and all those different Kylie McDaniel, the great guy with ESPN, a lot of guys had Gavin Williams ranked ahead of Tanner Bibee. So he's hopefully going to come back, but they still got to fortify that rotation and take care of that bullpen. And when I say take care of the bullpen, make sure you're not wearing those guys out in the dog days of summer.
Right now, we're talking to Chico Borman of the Big Play Network in Cleveland, taking a closer look at the Guardians before the four-game series against the Royals. Chico, I am curious from the Cleveland perspective how they sort of see the division. I mean, Cleveland has an 8-game lead over Minnesota. They have a 9-game lead over the Royals. I've started to really shift my focus away from the American League Central and focus more on the wild card race. I'm curious in Cleveland how you guys see this divisional race between Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City.
You know, it's a great question, and I think that most fans, even though, like I said, it's skepticism that's part of being a fan, but I think most fans really believe that this team, again, if they can make the necessary moves and fortify the rotation a bit more, I don't think a lot of this, where some fans years ago or in some cases would say, well, it's smoke and mirrors, right? These guys are going to come back to reality. Sure, I don't think the Mariners' 2001 116 wins is in jeopardy, but I think to feel pretty comfortable and confident with the division, although there's still a lot of baseball to be played, I think fans really do in this squad. And, it starts with the guys I already mentioned, but I think they feel like, hey, barring something unforeseen, knock on wood here, with any more catastrophic injuries, that the division, it really is theirs for the taking. I know Minnesota fans have been pretty angry on social media lately and taking their shots. But, I think fans here are pretty confident, C-Dot.
No, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. You have alluded to it a little bit. I know here in Kansas City, the Royals are looking for some bullpen help. They don't have nearly what you guys have in the bullpen. Also, some outfield help, more so offensively than defensively. It would seem if you're the Guardians and you look at the American League right now, there's only really, I would say, two heavyweight contenders, and they're both in the American League East with the Orioles and the Yankees. What do you think Cleveland is going to be searching for closer to the deadline?
Unfortunately, it's what everybody's searching for, and it's pitching and starting pitching. The guy that's going tonight for the Guardians, I think Waka's going for you guys, but Ben Lively is on the mound tonight, and he's done very, very well this year, but he's a guy where you say, okay, can he sustain this? Carlos Carrasco is beloved here, but he's been around a while. He's had some injuries. And then Logan Allen recently has been getting crushed a little bit as well. So they're going after starting pitching. I think they could also use a controllable bat if they can find one. But really, it begins and ends with the starting pitching. I mean, they feel like this team has overachieved so much in terms of, you know, what they dealt with the injury to Bieber, and then really the unknown. I mean, you mentioned the bullpen, and Carrington, we know that Emmanuel Clase is fantastic. But, you know, Cade Smith has been incredible. This was a guy that didn't even know if he was going to make the roster, a few hours before they departed spring training. And he's been outstanding. Hunter Gaddis has been great. Scott Barlow, who you guys know well, has been, you know, pretty solid as well. So, you know, the bullpen has been great. You just want to make sure that you're not going to tax them too much. But to answer your question again, it's all about starting pitching. But again, who are the sellers? That's the tricky part of this. You know, a team like the Mets, does Cohen spend all this money and then say, nah, we're selling? I mean, they're kind of like a lot of teams because of the three wild cards and everybody's kind of in play. So a lot of the pitchers, you're talking about two right away from the Mets, for instance, in Quintana and Severino, who now all of a sudden you go, nah, I don't know. Are they going to be available? Nobody knows. All we know is the Dodgers are going to, you know, be the Dodgers. I had to laugh that they're interested in both Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert from the White Sox. God bless them. You know, I mean, if you can do it, go and do it. But we'll see what happens.
Chico, I'm looking at the World Series betting odds, and sometimes this is the best indicator that you have. I'm looking at the Yankees. They are the third most likely team to win the World Series at plus 450. The Orioles are not that far behind them. And then you got to scroll down for the Guardians. They're plus 2,000, where the Yankees are at plus 450. I don't think there's that big of a gap between Cleveland and New York. I know we talk about the playoffs, but I look at this Cleveland team as a team that could make a serious run in the postseason and could win the World Series. I'm curious how you kind of view those top three teams in the American League with the Yankees, Orioles, and Cleveland.
Oh, boy. Well, when you're talking about winning it all, I think what it comes down to is do you have confidence not only that, you know, that rotation is going to be much better than it is now, or at least you add some support there, and are those guys that we're talking about now, Kwan, Jimenez, you trust Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor's another one, guys that have been great, are they going to continue to do that in the postseason? Because that's when it matters most. I think the answer to that probably is yes. But I also think, and this is just me being objective, trying to be objective about this. I mean, Carrington, I'd be lying to you if I said, oh, I absolutely thought the Guardians were going to be, you know, 25 games, whatever it is, above 500 and you know, the best record in baseball and nobody thought that. I didn't expect that. So there is a little bit of that. Well, they can't keep this going. But again, some of the smoke and mirrors, at least offensively, with that bullpen, Stephen Vogt, the manager, I know, well, what does a manager do? Yeah, I'm kind of alone. I follow that, subscribe to those theories as well. But he gets the most out of these guys. Tito Francona was so great for so many years at that great clubhouse. And it's like Vogt has stepped in and done the same thing and tapping into these guys. They love playing for him. It's special. But honestly, I can see why that gap is so great. That said, I jump all over those odds myself.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm sitting there looking at it, too. It's definitely worth it to me to lay a little bit on Cleveland. And you know, if they – I mean, Baltimore is going to play in the wild card game. Anything can happen in a three-game series. I think the odds between those two teams in the American League East and Cleveland is a little bit off here. Last thing, Chico, and I've never got a chance to ask you this question. You know, Cincinnati, they are known for Skyline Chili. You know, that is the thing that people know them for. What is Cleveland's thing? Like, we have barbecue here. You got Skyline Chili. St. Louis has toasted ravioli. What is Cleveland's thing?
Oh, what a great – this is why you're one of the top afternoon drive shows in the country. Let me just say that right now. Anybody can talk sports. What about the other stuff? I would say, I mean, Cleveland does so many things well with their variety of restaurants and very underrated in that regard. Pierogies are very, very – I'm sure you know what those are, the potato – pancakes type stuff that are stuffed with, you can stuff them with cheese, you can stuff them with meat, you can stuff them with whatever you want. But I would say pierogies, for instance, Parma, we had Jamie Meter. I don't expect you to know who that was a while ago. Jamie Meter, I think, was, I'm going to say he played on special teams, but he hailed from Parma. And he was known as the Parma, the Prince of the Pierogies. Here in Cleveland, Ohio. Nobody will know that, nor should they care in Kansas City. But if I had to pick one, CDOT, I'll go pierogies.
That is my guy, Chico Borman, joining us on the show today. Look at that. You got a little Bronny James, you got a little pierogies, and you got some baseball coverage. Chico, you talk about me, you can really do it all.
Oh, I love talking to you. You know that. One of the best in the business. And I love, like I said, we'll have plenty of time to talk Browns and Chiefs, but it's fun to be able to talk some baseball as well.
Absolutely. That is our guy, Chico Borman, joining us on the show today. Always great to catch up with him. Always appreciate his insight on everything that is happening in Cleveland. Rob, I did have to Google pierogies. I did have to learn a little bit about them. Are you a pierogi individual? I've never had a pierogi before, so I'm not super familiar with the Cleveland delicacies. Are you familiar with what they're eating out there in Cleveland? I'm looking at it right now. It looks like a dumpling.
I was aware of it. I've never personally had one. It pops up in like those food shows that, like, you mentioned everyone has their guilty pleasure thing. You like Bar Rescue. I like those food shows.
I do love a good Bar Rescue. It's just something about in Bar Rescue. Just your bar's terrible. John comes in. He makes you feel terrible for the first 15 minutes. He's yelling at you. He's throwing stuff. He's telling you that you're worthless. He's telling you that you doesn't care. And then he builds you back up and he gives you a new bar at the end. I mean, it's the same show every single time, but I love it every single time.
So mine is cooking shows, so I'm aware of pierogies through that, you know, world, but I've never personally had a pierogi, but I don't think I'd turn it down. It sounds light years better than Skyline Chili, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I mean I'm sitting here, I'm reading about it. I mean, it sounds okay. I mean, that's your thing though. I mean, we got the best ribs, the best burnt ends, the best brisket in the world. You guys pierogies? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the case. But I do want to tell you this. And see, this is how I know the media is a little bit biased. Everything that Kansas has been doing over the last couple of days, oh my goodness, it's the biggest story in Kansas City. Oh, did you guys see this? The team is moving. Missouri then responds, and then they say something. You don't hear a peep about it. It's not even on the front page of any of it. So, Governor Parsons, he spoke to the Associated Press, and he said, quote, "We're going to make sure that we put the best business deal on the line that we can. Look, I can't blame Kansas for trying. You know, if I was probably sitting there, I'd be doing the same thing. But at the end of the day, we're going to be competitive." He then goes on and says that he understands that the Chiefs and the Royals are big business and that they have to work this out on paper and figure out a deal that's going to be beneficial to the taxpayers of Missouri. This is all part of what we thought was going to happen. I didn't understand the overreaction 2-3 weeks ago. I don't think there's any reason to overreact about this comment. We just thought Missouri was just going to let them go over to Kansas without a fight. Like, they weren't going to try to figure it out and get some money together to try to keep an NFL team in their state and a Major League Baseball team in their state. We're just seeing politics happen. I think that both sides, just let's cool down a little bit. You knew that Missouri was going to put an offer together. Last week, I think you were here, Rob. It's hard to remember when you were here and when you won't here. The text line just made it seem like Kansas was going to make a deal. They were never going to take the deal to Missouri. They were just going to move. Like, they already had them playing games over at the Kansas Speedway. They already had them playing games out there. No, let's just calm down a little bit. They were not getting this deal done in 60 days to move an NFL team across state line. There is still a lot to be done. There's still a lot of conversations to be had. Kansas is telling you what their strategy is going to be. Missouri is putting their strategy together, and then we will have a chance to evaluate this thing. I know sometimes we don't like the, hey, I don't know, let's wait and see, but that's literally all we can do in relation right now to the stadium. Missouri hasn't really given us a whole lot of information yet. Now, they are down. Like, if we are calling this like a football game, they appear to be down. They're losing right now. But it's the early second quarter. There's still a lot of football left. A lot of football left here in this conversation. So I would say if we are playing this thing like a game, Kansas is up 10-3 right now. Maybe 13-3. It's early second, though, and now the ball is with the Missouri side. So I'm not going to overreact to any of this right now. Maybe this is a coping mechanism. I don't think there's any reason to overreact.
You want to know why we haven't talked about that statement? If you read what Mike Parsons said, boy, is it nothing. Hey, we understand the teams are big business. Okay, cool. Everyone knows that. Anyone with a pulse knows that. And we're going to try to be competitive in Missouri. If I was across state lines, I'd be doing the same thing.
No, he didn't say anything.
He said he put three sentences together and said literally no words. So you know what? That's why we're not talking about it. When Kansas is talking, they're making votes in the Senate to make moves.
But Kansas is making all the votes that we knew. I mean, you and I follow this enough to know that they had this money. They had these star bonds. All they've done is the step that we knew they were going to do. It's not like nothing unsurprising has happened since the vote has failed. everything that has happened, I could have told you the day before the vote, hey, if this thing fails, these are going to be the next five steps. All five of those steps have happened. Nothing's happened yet. Nothing has changed. The Chiefs haven't come out and said anything. The Royals haven't really come out and said anything. Missouri hasn't really said anything. It's a little bit of a stalemate. Kansas, I guess they are showing some movement, but I guess in this, they are the contender, right? Like, they don't have the teams. Where the other side, they have the teams. They also have a deal in place to have them until 2031. You got a little bit of time here. Now, I'm not making it seem like you got 5-6 years to figure it out. You certainly need to figure it out sooner than that. But it was not going to be no vote, and then in the next 90 days, the teams were moving to Kansas. And I do think that some of the conversation the last couple of weeks have made it seem like this is some foregone conclusion, done deal. When it's politics, nothing moves fast in that realm. It's certainly going to be a lot more back and forth. It's going to be a lot more movement. Coming up on the other side, it has been a while since we had a time to do this. And the fact that Rob is back, fresh off, he is a new married man, means there's no better time to have this conversation. Pro Football Focus has announced their top running back rooms in the National Football League. How can we not discuss that with Rob? We'll do that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
There are some things that our show is known for. We have a brand. And one of the things that is part of our brand is Rob Haight of a certain position in the National Football League, which doesn't really make any sense because it's one of the more exciting positions. Like, I don't know about you guys. I'm not really watching the game because one team has really good left tackles. You know, that's not really why I'm watching the game. So running backs are kind of cool, you know. Rob grew up in the era, like, you know, Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders, and then we got to see Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson, and Derrick Henry. You know, it's a fun and exciting position. Rob hates running backs. So I have been saving this topic, waiting for Rob to return. You guys know Rob got married over the weekend. He wasn't here for most of the week. Now he's back. I have been saving this topic, Rob, and you can even hit a little bit of music here. This is the top 10 running back rooms, not running backs. This is running back rooms in the entire National Football League. I'm excited that you can be here for this conversation. Hit me with a little music. Number 10, the New York Jets. Number 9, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 8, Cleveland Browns. Number 7, Indianapolis Colts. Number 6, the Green Bay Packers. Let's get to the top 5. 5, the Atlanta Falcons. 4, Baltimore Ravens. 3, Detroit Lions. 2, Miami Dolphins. And you can probably guess it. Number 1, the best running back room in the National Football League is the San Francisco 49ers. They are atop the list. Rob, you are our running back aficionado. Do you have any problems with the top 5 of this list? The top 5 is San Francisco, Miami, Detroit, Baltimore, and Atlanta. Thoughts, please.
I hate running back so much. So I'm curious on how much value room held, because some of those individual backs were better than other individual backs. But does running back, a good running back 2, carry more weight than a good running back 1? Because I would say Cleveland, when Nick Chubb is healthy and going, which I know he had a very bad injury in 23, but if he's back to full go, Nick Chubb's one of the 3 or 4 best running backs in the National Football League.
They also had Jerome Ford last year, who I thought had a good season.
They have him marooned off on 7th for some reason. The Eagles have a lot of name cachet in their room, a lot of look out for the Eagles, but not a lot of production to match. Remember last year on this time, everyone was hot to trot about DeAndre Swift being an Eagle. It didn't really hit. They're trying a new thing. I think you might see a little of the same results with Saquon Barkley. So I'm curious what their formula is and how running back 1 carries a certain amount of weight versus running back 2, because the Dolphins seem like the team where, like, you don't have the alpha. I know A-Chain's a good player. They don't have that whoa guy the same way the Niners do, but they have a good, better number two than a lot of those teams. So I'm just curious on the calculus here.
It feels very scheme-driven with Miami than actually talent-driven with Miami. Is a player like Kareem Hunt why you don't like running backs? Because Kareem Hunt, there was a time there that you could argue Kareem Hunt was one of the five best running backs in the National Football League. I mean, as a rookie, I mean, he was maybe top three running backs in the NFL. His rookie year, 272 carries, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry. You want to know what Kareem Hunt did last year? 135 carries, 411 yards, 3 yards a carry. He is 28 years old right now, and Kareem Hunt is unemployed. He is jobless. Are players like Kareem Hunt why you don't like the running back position? Because it wasn't that long ago, and I would say maybe 2020, we looked at Kareem Hunt like he was one of those guys. The last 3-4 seasons, it feels like it's over. I mean, in 2022, he ran for less than 500 yards and 3.8 yards per carry. Last year, he ran for less than 500 yards and 3 yards a carry. It doesn't seem like the NFL is that hot on bringing Kareem Hunt back into the league. It was really short-lived. I mean, he has played 7 seasons in the National Football League, and he appears to be cooked at 28 years old.
If you want the name that really hammers home my feelings on running backs, which is don't use a first-round pick on them, get the most value out of them, turn and burn. The answer is Todd Gurley. And maybe Kareem Hunt is diet Todd Gurley. He's never got the contract because of what happened off the field. But remember, Todd Gurley for a time was the best running back in the NFL. Like, let's be honest about Todd Gurley. There was a moment in time where he was the best of the best. He then got paid. It was over fast. The Rams had to eject. And then he played an oh-by-the-way season for the Falcons, which no one remembers. But Todd Gurley is the guy where you go, like, people were hot to trot on paying him, and I laughed and laughed maniacally at the idea of paying Todd Gurley.
All right, I will ask you this question related to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs on this list, so they're not in the top 10, they have, according to Pro Football Focus, the 18th best running back room in the National Football League. So Pittsburgh has the 17th best room in the league. Chicago has the 9th best room in the league. Do you feel like this is a good ranking for the Kansas City Chiefs? Because I would argue that the Chiefs have the best number one running back of any of these three teams. I'd rather have Isaiah Pacheco than have Najee Harris. I'd rather have him than Jalen Warren. I'd rather have him than DeAndre Swift as well. But these other teams don't have the depth that Kansas City, or they have more depth than Kansas City has at running back. The Chiefs just have one good running back. I think you could argue Pittsburgh has 1.5 good running backs with Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. And Chicago, they probably have 3 decent running backs on their team. So those rooms are deeper, even if they don't have the solid number one that Kansas City does. Do you like where KC's ranked? Do you think this is a fair grouping of teams with Pittsburgh and also Chicago?
This is where I'm curious on how they do the calculus, because I agree with you. Isaiah Pacheco is better than a lot of those guys. Isaiah Pacheco is better than Jalen Warren. He's light years better than Najee Harris. He's better than a lot of the company you keep, but if it's the room and the entire room is what's carrying the value here, let's be honest, failed first-round pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an anchor around the Chiefs, you know, feet here as far as ability to be ranked high. And as much as he is everyone's darling, and if you want to know who's going to be Jody Fortson this year at camp, it's the third running back. It's Lewis Rees-Zammit, who is the epitome of an unknown because he's literally never played a snap of real, actual football.
I actually think it's going to be Jarrett Wiley. I think
it's going to be Zammit.
I think Jarrett Wiley is camp guy this year.
I think it's going to be Zammit because you know he's going to look great in? Shorts and a t-shirt. And that's where the Justin Ross effect comes into a play. But I think the room thing and the calculus of the room hurts the Chiefs here because Edwards-Helaire, and whether it be Zammit or Prince or whoever's going to end up at running back 3, really drag down the Chiefs in the ratings.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, Kareem Hunt isn't cooked. He's being blackballed. He would be a top 5 running back in the league. He got another opportunity after the incident in Kansas City. You can't say he's been blackballed. He had the incident in Kansas City. He was instantly picked up by another team. He then rode out the suspension. They've given him all the opportunities. I mean, the last 2 years, he ain't been good. Now, maybe you think Kareem Hunt's got a little bit left in the tank. We can agree to disagree on that. But We can't say that Kareem Hunt is blackballed. Not when he is finishing year 7 in the NFL. And the last 2 years, he hasn't been good. I mean, the last 2 years for Kareem Hunt, he is averaging 258 carries. He has 879 yards rushing, and he is averaging 3.4 yards per carry. That sounds like someone who is cooked. That's what it sounds like to me. Because I'm guessing if we look at the last 2 years for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm going to guess it ain't that much different with him and Kareem Hunt. Now, the touchdowns are different. Kareem Hunt has had 12 touchdowns, and I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is nowhere near that. But if we are just talking yards per carry, I am going to guess that it is not that far off between those two individuals. And for a guy that at one point was a top five running back, you don't ever want to be in the conversation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, it was 2017. Kareem Hunt set the rookie rushing record in the NFL and was one of the best backs in the NFL. And then year one of Mahomes, he looked like that guy. Take the off the field part aside. What was the thing that
there are some things that our show is known for. We have a brand. And one of the things that is part of our brand is Rob Haight of a certain position in the National Football League, which doesn't really make any sense because it's one of the more exciting positions. Like, I don't know about you guys. I'm not really watching the game because one team has really good left tackles. You know? That's not really why I'm watching the game. So running backs are kind of cool, you know? Rob grew up in the era, like, you know, Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders, and then we got to see Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson and Derrick Henry. You know, it's a fun and exciting position. Rob hates running backs. So I have been saving this topic, waiting for Rob to return. You guys know Rob got married over the weekend. He wasn't here for most of the week. Now he's back. I have been saving this topic, Rob, and you can even hit a little bit of music here. This is the top 10 running back rooms, not running backs. This is running back rooms in the entire National Football League. I'm excited that you can be here for this conversation. Hit me with a little music. Number 10, the New York Jets. Number 9, the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 8, Cleveland Browns. Number 7, Indianapolis Colts. Number 6, the Green Bay Packers. Let's get to the top 5. 5, the Atlanta Falcons. 4, Baltimore Ravens. 3, Detroit Lions. 2, Miami Dolphins. And you can probably guess it. Number 1, the best running back room in the National Football League is the San Francisco 49ers. They are atop the list. Rob, you are our running back aficionado. Do you have any problems with the top 5 of this list? The top 5 is San Francisco, Miami, Detroit, Baltimore, and Atlanta. Thoughts, please.
I hate running back so much. So I'm curious on how much value room held, because some of those individuals backs were better than other individual backs. But does running back, a good running back 2, carry more weight than a good running back 1? Because I would say Cleveland, when Nick Chubb is healthy and going, which I know he had a very bad injury in 23, but if he's back to full go, Nick Chubb's one of the 3 or 4 best running backs in the National Football League.
But they also had Jerome Ford last year, who I thought had a good season.
They have him marooned off on 7th for some reason. The Eagles have a lot of name cachet in their room, a lot of lookout for the Eagles, but not a lot of production to match it. Remember last year on this time, everyone was hot to trot about DeAndre Swift being an Eagle. It didn't really hit. They're trying a new thing. I think you might see a little of the same results with Saquon Barkley. So I'm curious what their formula is and how running back 1 carries a certain amount of weight versus running back 2, because the Dolphins seem like the team where, like, you don't have the alpha. I know A-Chain's a good player. They don't have that whoa guy the same way the Niners do, but they have a good, better number 2 than a lot of those teams. I'm just curious on the calculus here.
It feels very scheme-driven with Miami than actually talent-driven with Miami. Is a player like Kareem Hunt why you don't like running backs? Because Kareem Hunt, there was a time there that you could argue Kareem Hunt was one of the 5 best running backs in the National Football League. I mean, as a rookie, I mean, he was maybe top 3 running backs in the NFL. His rookie year, 272 carries, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry. You want to know what Kareem Hunt did last year? 135 carries, 411 yards, 3 yards a carry. He is 28 years old right now, and Kareem Hunt is unemployed. He is jobless. Are players like Kareem Hunt why you don't like the running back position? Because it wasn't that long ago, and I would say maybe 2020, we looked at Kareem Hunt like he was one of those guys. The last 3-4 seasons, it feels like it's over. I mean, in 2022, he ran for less than 500 yards and 3.8 yards per carry. Last year, he ran for less than 500 yards and 3 yards a carry. It doesn't seem like the NFL is that hot on bringing Kareem Hunt back into the league. It was really short-lived. I mean, he's played 7 seasons in the National Football League, and he appears to be cooked at 28 years old.
If you want the name that really hammers home my feelings on running backs, which is don't draft use a first-round pick on him, get the most value out of him, turn and burn. The answer is Todd Gurley. And maybe Kareem Hunt is diet Todd Gurley. He's never got the contract, so what happened off the field. But remember, Todd Gurley for a time was the best running back in the NFL. Like, let's be honest about Todd Gurley. There was a moment in time where he was the best of the best. He then got paid. It was over fast. The Rams had to eject. And then he played an oh-by-the-way season for the Falcons, which no one remembers. But Todd Gurley is the guy where you go, like, people were hot to trot on paying him, and I laughed and laughed maniacally at the idea of paying Todd Gurley.
All right, I will ask you this question related to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs on this list, so they're not in the top 10, they have, according to Pro Football Focus, the 18th best running back room in the National Football League. So Pittsburgh has the 17th best room in the league. Chicago has the 9th best room in the league. Do you feel like this is a good ranking for the Kansas City Chiefs? Because I would argue that the Chiefs have the best number one running back of any of these three teams. I'd rather have Isaiah Pacheco than have Najee Harris. I'd rather have him than Jaylen Warren. I'd rather have him than DeAndre Swift as well. But these other teams don't have the depth that Kansas City, or they have more depth than Kansas City has at running back. The Chiefs just have one good running back. I think you could argue Pittsburgh has 1.5 good running backs with Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris. And Chicago, they probably have 3 decent running backs on their team. So those rooms are deeper, even if they don't have the solid number one that Kansas City does. Do you like where KC's ranked? Do you think this is a fair grouping of teams with Pittsburgh and also Chicago?
This is where I'm curious on how they do the calculus, because I agree with you. Isaiah Pacheco is better than a lot of those guys. Isaiah Pacheco is better than Jaylen Warren. He's light years better than Najee Harris. He's better than a lot of the company you keep, but if it's the room and the entire room is what's carrying the value here, let's be honest. Failed first round pick Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an anchor around the Chiefs, you know, feet here as far as ability to be ranked high. And as much as he is everyone's darling, and if you want to know who's going to be Jody Fortson this year at camp, it's the third running back. It's Lewis Rees-Zammit, who is the epitome of an unknown because he's literally never played a snap of real, actual football.
I actually think it's going to be Jarrett Wiley. I think
it's going to be Zammit.
I think Jarrett Wiley is camp guy this year.
I think it's going to be Zammit because you know what he's going to look great in? Shorts and a t-shirt. And that's where the Justin Ross effect comes into a play. But I think the room thing and the calculus of the room hurts the Chiefs here because Edwards-Helaire, and whether it be Zammit or Prince or whoever is going to end up at running back 3, really drag down the Chiefs in the ratings.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, Kareem Hunt isn't cooked. He's being blackballed. He would be a top 5 running back in the league. He got another opportunity after the incident in Kansas City. You can't say he's been blackballed. He had the incident in Kansas City. He was instantly picked up by another team. He then rode out the suspension. They've given him all the opportunities. I mean, the last 2 years, he ain't been good. Now, maybe you think Kareem Hunt's got a little bit left in the tank. We can agree to disagree on that, but we can't say that Kareem Hunt is blackballed. Not when he is finishing year 7 in the NFL. And the last 2 years, he hasn't been good. I mean, the last 2 years for Kareem Hunt, he is averaging 200, or he's had 258 carries. He has 879 yards rushing, and he is averaging 3.4 yards per carry. That sounds like someone who is cooked. That's what it sounds like to me. Because I'm guessing if we look at the last 2 years for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm going to guess it ain't that much different with him and Kareem Hunt. Now, the touchdowns are different. Kareem Hunt has had 12 touchdowns, and I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is nowhere near that. But if we're just talking yards per carry, I am going to guess that it is not that far off between those two individuals. And for a guy that at one point was a top five running back, you don't ever want to be in the conversation with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I mean, it was 2017. Kareem Hunt was what set the rookie rushing record in the NFL and was one of the best backs in the NFL. And then year one of Mahomes, he looked like that guy. Take the off the field part aside. What was the thing that the late great Therese always said? Running backs only have so many hits on their body. Going into 8 years removed from your rookie season is usually when the hit train starts to really show itself at running back. If you're 27, 28, 29, 30, the wear and tear hits way worse at that position. So I don't buy this blackball thing. I believe simply that time ran out on Kareem Hunt, and he plays a position where time runs out faster than any other position in the league.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, C-Dot, how can you say that Pacheco was better than Najee Harris, given that Najee Harris has run for 1,000 yards in every season that he's been in? Najee Harris is not good. Like, I know that 1,000 yards is one of those things that we hold as like a – I'm sorry. I mean, in 2021, his rookie year, yeah, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He averaged 3.9 yards per carry. He got to 1,000 yards because the volume was there, because they kept giving him the ball, not because he was super effective. In 2022, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He averaged 3.8 yards per carry. Last year, he ran for over 1,000 yards. He had 4.1 yards per carry. Najee Harris is one of the most overrated players in the league. He just gets the ball a lot. Like, for example, Najee Harris in his career is averaging 3.9 yards per carry. Isaiah Pacheco is averaging 4.7 yards per carry. He is a far more effective running back than Najee Harris is. It's just a volume thing, at least with me with Harris. I'm not super high on Najee. I don't think he's our best running back on their team. I think Jaylen Warren is the better running back out of those two options. Coming up on the other side, we'll see if Bronny James get drafted. They are at pick 52. We'll make that one of the hits. And we'll also get back to the top stories. The Guardians are in town for one of the biggest Royal series in quite some time. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!